Now, we learned from last time.
Turn the phones down.
Turn the phones down. Okay.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Nate May.
Why can't I turn the phone all the way down?
You should. Is there a mute button on your on Instagram itself? I don't know.
Have you seen that button?
No. I was just asking if you're... I just turned my phone. Is your volume all the way down?
Yeah, but it goes to all the way, and then there's one more notch, and then there's like a limiter on it.
As I said, it sounds good on their end.
I know, but it's just like there's sound coming from the phone, and it's going to be in the mic. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Can you do a... Can you just plug a pair of headphones into your phone?
Ah.
That's why you're
so smart.
Keep me around, buddy.
You're so smart. All right, everybody standing by. It's riveting so far. Hey, but in our defense, we said we're not going to start until 2, and it's only 1:58, so.
Yes, we got 2 minutes, so everybody's just going to enjoy this. Hi, everybody. Clock Tower 74. Welcome to the party.
Josh, I think you had this idea last time to plug the headphones in.
And yeah, I probably did.
Yeah. Sounds like an idea you'd have.
I have lots of ideas for the first time that no one remembers. Somebody thinks of their own, but they're actually remembering my idea, and then they claim it as their own. It's called being in so percussion.
Is that, that's the band that you play in?
Yeah. It's the Etsy shop I own. I sell only so percussion CDs. I buy them from a.
In so percussion. You just sell their CDs.
Yeah, I buy that. But I go to every record store on Bleecker Street in Manhattan, and I pick out the so ones. And I go, you know, there's a lot at the Princeton Record Exchange.
It's really, is there?
Oh my god, it's remarkable.
Like used copies that people have sold back.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make sense. That would...
Okay.
Very
good.
Almost. I'm hearing the 2 o'clock bell ring, so we are almost go time. Let me just. I've manipulated my. You know what I'm going to do? I was going to say I manipulated my phone rig to put the headphone thing in to silence everything. I think I'm good to go now.
All right.
Okay.
Me too. I'm good to go.
Great. Well, welcome.
Welcome back, everyone. Everybody.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to all. So this is called Josh and Todd Spend an Hour, Wasting an Hour. I couldn't remember when I was writing the Instagram announcement if your name came first or mine did, but I guess it's yours.
I think the thing, Josh, with hashtags is important to switch it up every time. So people never really remember.
Do say the algorithm sort of works that way. You keep the algorithm sort of guessing, and then it rewards you in the end.
Yeah. Well, so where do we want to start here? We have 1 hour exactly to waste. What would you? Where do you want to begin?
And hey to everybody who's joining. Hey, 2x1 Media. Let me make a brief. Instead of going all the way up to the hour, we're going to cut down about 3 minutes before the hour, because I have to pick up Jessica from another building on campus.
Sounds
and
good.
I can't be late.
And Instagram will cut us off anyway at an hour.
That's right.
So
that's right. Yeah, that's going to be perfect.
Great.
Do you want to start by?
First off, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
to everyone.
To everyone, but especially to Josh and to me.
Yep.
And you went on vacation, I saw.
I did. I went to St. Croix with my mom. I went to Ohio for a couple of days to see my mom and my brother. Mm-hmm. And then Stephanie and I went to St. Croix, and we were there for 9 days. It was lovely. It was quiet. It was warm. And my old teacher, Larry Snyder, was there with his wife, and friend Matt Dudak was there. It was good. Really fun.
So you took some Ohio to St. Croix, basically. That's Have you found that those are similar places, Ohio and St. Croix?
They're very similar in that the people are there's rum in Ohio. If you go to a store, you can buy it there. And there's also Coke. They sell Coca-Cola, sometimes at a different store, sometimes at the same store in Ohio as they do in St. Croix. In St. Croix, it's a little more, it's more of a natural resource.
Okay.
It bubbles up from springs high in the mountain ranges. No, they're not anything close to the same. So, but I love both equally. They're like, do you have a favorite child, Todd?
No.
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay. Just like that.
Yeah. So what did you guys do? You and Jess and the fam.
Oh,
Jess mainly, or Jessica.
Like so many other people call her Jess.
Yeah.
And I've never uttered that word in my life. I've only said Jessica.
You be careful.
It would be really weird if I just started calling her Jess at this point in our marriage.
Yeah.
But no, it's strange because like many other people do call her that, and she doesn't bat an eye. She's fine with it. So we hung around the city of Waco, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly. We went down to Houston to see my family for a bit. That's about it. That's about as interesting as it gets.
Mm.
Boys are back in school this week, so we have also started working. I'm like insanely stressed out already. I want nothing more than January to end. January is just too many things.
Mm.
Too many things that are hitting right off the bat. So,
yeah.
Welcome Arlo. Anyway, apparently our catching up isn't all that engaging.
Yeah.
So why don't we jump to some topics or some questions? You've got your bowl there?
I got my bowl here.
Okay. I got mine.
All right. Here. I'll pick one. You pick one.
Okay.
Some of these are fan suggested from last time.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's mine.
Oh, okay.
How do you maintain family time and stuff and so much time out of town touring?
Oh, okay. That's a good question.
Mm.
Did your wife ask that?
I don't probably. Okay, what's yours?
This one is also from your wife.
Okay.
What new music group has the best / worst publicity photos?
Oh my. That can get dangerous.
Well, if you're talking about other people. Unless we just
I know all of these people.
Unless we just think everybody's photos are great and we're just going to congratulate them on their great photos.
I would say, okay, well, I'm just going to do a humble troll here of my good friends over at So Percussion, or not So Percussion. What's that name of that band up in there in Chicago? There's four of them. They're on the water.
Lake Placid Percussion.
That's not in Michigan. Is it? Where's Lake Placid?
I think that's New York.
Okay. Anyway, they're the Lake Champlain Percussionistos, I believe.
Yep.
Third Coast. Anyway, those guys, they had one press photo where they were grinding a pipe and the sparks were flying. And all I could think of, and I'm saying this, listen, I'm wearing a tux holding a conch shell up to my ear. I get it. I'm not saying that we hit it out of the park every time either. But that particular one, do you know that on like the You Could Be a Star or America's Got Talent, the woman who comes out with the metal, she's got like metal brassiere, like a metal bathing suit basically, and she puts grinders up to them, like these metal grinders, and sparks shoot off while there's like really cheesy like Mannheim Steamroller music playing in the background.
Right.
That for me was a very special, that was the very first thing that popped in my head when I saw that press photo. So I thought to myself, all right, mental note.
Yeah, I remember when that press photo came out. Are they not using it anymore? I don't remember.
I don't think so, no.
They're actually going to be here like in 2 weeks. And I know that we're not using that press photo. So maybe they've discontinued it.
Maybe. Listen,
and maybe it was before Sean joined the group. I don't know.
Oh, it was definitely before Sean was in the group.
I do remember when it came out. And you know what it did? It caught my attention.
It sure did.
And I think
that's what press photos are supposed to do.
That's at least part of the point. So, Now had I not known them, had I not been a percussionist, I don't know what it would have done to me then. It didn't change my opinion of them.
No, not at all. I mean, I only used that reference of the lady with the metal brassiere with the grinders because I'm a lover of cheesy, like, pop culture. I was raised on America's Funniest Home Videos and American Idol and all that stuff. So for me, that particular imagery popped into my mind. But, you know, I'm also thinking of some early So press photos that are hanging in the So studio of a bunch of guys. I think it's best when you take a press photo to stand on a windy beach, like when the sun is down. And so so the lighting, was your lighting designer like Ford or Chevy or was it Honda?
Okay, first of all, I was out of the group by then, but that's the press photo that immediately comes to my mind when people say bad press photos.
Yep.
Because yeah, I think they were on a windy beach and it was just like truck headlights.
I think it looks like there's just two beams of shitty light being pointed right at four guys. Like,
right.
In a windstorm in New Haven.
And I think it's mostly like the light, at least one of the lights is like directly on Lawson, I think.
Hello, Emily Clooney.
Hey, So Percussion joined. Did you just join for yourself?
Who's that? So Percussion. Oh, no, I think that might be Adam.
Or hey, you. Adam.
I don't know. Adam doesn't do the heart eye thing. Anyway, continue. So they're on the beach.
No, I just remember that one being – I thought it was particularly bad. Or good. Maybe that was – I mean, some of these things we know they're from a place and time in history, right? So if you look back to any old publicity photos, we might laugh at them now in ways that we laugh at old
family
clothing that we wear. I mean, like you like to put up old photos sometimes. So, you know, we do that so that we can kind of poke fun at ourselves and but I don't know. There was something about that photo that I think even when it first came out,
it had the same new as a new photo. It had the same effect as an old photo.
Right.
Well, I like the white t-shirts untucked underneath a button up like red. I think this is Dougie Perks, like a red Van Heusen from like Elder Beerman style or JCPenney button up shirt, long sleeve, but unbuttoned down to the third button. With just a Hanes white t-shirt, and then the bottom button was like unbuttoned too, so the wind was like flapping up both sides. So you just saw this white, I would say more than one white triangle amongst that all four of you. The other guys. It was pretty classy looking.
Actually, it's a good topic because I just over the break I shared one of the original. Band photos that we took. I don't know that we ever, maybe we used it as a press photo, but we took it at the outside, I think it was outside the Beinecke Library.
I know that photo. I think it's hanging on the back of our studio door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I found it on my computer, I guess, and sent it to So 1.0, the guys in So 1.0. Mm-hmm. So, it was fine, actually, because it was like everybody was – it was grayscale. The most startling thing was that Jason had – there was a lot of hair on his head.
A lot is a relative. That's that's not really appropriate. There was hair there.
He had hair on his head, which is – right. That contrasts with now when he doesn't.
What do you think whenever you – when you guys are – what were you thinking then when you were taking a press photo? I mean, because truthfully, a lot of it is budget, you know. And well, the time period in which you guys were doing it, you know, it's like you had to – it was expensive to have someone hold the little thing with the gunpowder when it goes – you know, so like you had to – and you had to sit still for like 45 minutes while the film
– right.
You know, that's why you're
– yeah, because the gunpowder goes off, the flash goes off, and then you have to hold that.
Right.
For another 30 seconds.
Sometimes that's why everybody in a So photo looked like they're at a funeral. But also a lot of it, truthfully, as a student, I mean, I remember I had to take a press photo for Percussive Arts Society. I was playing some steel drum thing. And so Stephanie and I, we were like 2 years into dating at the time. So we went into our basement and I hung up a white blanket. It was all pilly and gross and had stains on it. And she took it with like a camera that you know, we took three shots and I had to take it to a Kodak place, like one of those little kiosks in a like in a parking lot of a shopping mall. Drop it off, develop it, wait for like 4 days to go pick it up,
right,
and come home and then cut it with scissors,
right,
and it looked horrible. But that was it's still hanging on my fridge, actually.
And then what did you do? You like snail mailed that to PAS or something?
I taped that onto the little box that they included or whatever with,
right.
You know, here, your press photo must fit in this. And so I just scotch taped it to that, put it in the mail, sent it to them. And then they did with it whatever they needed to do with it on their end. But it's not like I could afford. I had a $1,000 budget to hire somebody.
Yeah.
Good to do it. So what do you... What would you suggest to somebody? I mean, things are just better now in terms of technology, so people can take easier photos. But what are some things to think about for somebody taking their first press shot, do you think?
Well, I think individual press shots are far easier than group press shots. I think the what maybe your wife is getting at, best slash worst, I think there's inherent in the group dynamic. I mean, that's just something that the group never does until they have to go and do that thing that day. Like, hey, this afternoon, every 3 or 4 years, we're going to go do this thing. So in terms of what that experience is like, I think it's always awkward. I think, I don't know, the individual press photo, I think those are pretty straightforward now. Like, I mean, you can basically, you can pretty much do that as a selfie.
Pretty much,
you know, well, or the timer on your iPhone.
Do you think, like, I know a lot of students, myself included, are more of a, like, it's got to have a theme, or there's like, it's got to be clear I'm a percussionist, you know? And I myself have always questioned, I mean, I think unless there's something that, like, for me, it was steel drums. Like, so if I have there's a steel drum thing I'm doing, steel drum is enough of a sort of boutique instrument that, like, having that in the press photo made sense. But I never gravitated towards feeling like I had to have marimba mallets in my hand, like pointing at the camera or to show that I was a percussionist. I just felt like a great classic photo would be enough.
Right.
But
right.
The trend is very clearly, I think, hold sticks in your hand or make some cross and, you know, like mesh thing in front of your face or something with the stick.
You're referencing Third Coast again, aren't you?
Was that them? No, that's a lot of, everybody does that. So, I mean, we have tons of files that are in the dustbin that never saw the light of day of stuff like that.
Right.
And, but the ones I gravitate, and I think it's just an aesthetic thing. I tend to gravitate towards just like, you know, what do you look like?
Is it a nice photo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. And I think I agree in that, you know, if we think about the usage of these photos, they're never going to be like just floating out in midair with nothing, like no verbiage attached to them.
Right.
So like whenever is there just a picture of a percussionist somewhere that is completely devoid of context?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's like a concert poster, it's going to say Josh Quillen, comma, steel drum fanatic. And then it's going to be a picture of you. And so we get all the information we need, unless people don't know what a steel drum is. I mean, I guess we could go down that path, but I agree. I think just like a well taken photo. I saw just a second ago that a friend and colleague of mine, Ben Johansson, just joined. Hey, Ben. And he actually took I don't know that he does as much photography anymore, but there was a time where he was doing a lot. He took a lot of the early duo press photos. And he took Doug's press photos as well. And he took my early press photos. I really liked working with Ben because he would have ideas, but he'd also be completely open and flexible to like whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And I think it was more for us, it was more about just finding interesting backgrounds.
And one of the things that was interesting to me too, that I had just never thought about, but somebody at Carnegie had told us, like we had an ex student who was, you know, in interning in the PR department or something. And he said, like, you know, the photos of you guys where there's a lot of space above you, or there's clear white, there's like panels that are clear, there's not a lot of stuff going on, is super helpful. Like the Jack Quartet did something similar with theirs.
Right.
Because like you mentioned earlier, Carnegie wants to put in the time of your concert. They want to show, you know, where maybe some rep you're playing list,
you know,
whatever, or maybe list a little ad for the next concert, you know, see us next week at blah, blah, blah. And so thinking of your press photo as also like a whiteboard for whoever is using it,
Yeah, or at least having that as one of the options of your press
right.
photos.
It doesn't have to be every one, but and the other thing too, So has had to deal with this, like thematically based or project specific press photos. So there's your general bust, you know, from your chest up headshot type thing, but then you know, we're doing a gun show or we're doing Where We Live. Or a project with a specific guest artist. I mean, we'd had to take new press photos with John Culpitz when we did an album with him. So, you know, for us, it has become more of a two mindset sort of thing. And the thematic ones are really hard because they can get real cheese ball real quick. You know, you get in the too many bells and whistles and the shot just looks too distracted or cluttered or whatever.
What was the theme or the thematic steering of the one where you guys were in tuxes and the conch or the I think there's one with radios too or maybe those are two different ones, I don't know, but what was guiding that?
The thematic one, I think we you know, it was just an idea, like the conch one for example is just an idea that I had. One thing that I always thought was interesting about like the brass sections in orchestras to me always looked the most, and I don't know whether this, I could just be reading into stuff, but they always looked to me in concerts to be the most like rigid and militaristic when they played because they all brought their stuff up, their trumpets, everything. That's a very like marching band, military sort of approach to to your presentation, but you're wearing a tux. So it was this weird like dichotomy between what you were doing and you're doing it very formally or whatever. And so when we were taking the photo, I had all these different sizes of conch shells just that I owned and that So owned. And so I thought, why don't we just pretend that we're a, you know, like a John Cage brass section.
Right.
The only thing I changed in that concept was just we weren't holding trumpets, we were holding conch shells, which are the exact same. You play them the same way, so you could look like a brass section, but it's a pretty clear reference to John Cage. If you know, if you're sort of loosely familiar with that world, you know,
right? Which the vast majority of the world is.
It's
really
not
familiar.
A xylophone is saying they're having a hard time hearing you.
I know. Thanks, Drew. Is this better? Let me at some point maybe type in and let me know if that's better. I was probably just mumbling. I do that. And I have a little bit more facial hair than normal, so that maybe does that happen with you, Josh?
It's a high pass filter, yeah. So like a lot of stuff gets, you gotta compensate for it when you EQ later. But,
okay, so Ben, this is who I was talking about earlier, Ben Johansson, my friend and colleague, picks that quote can be cropped to square are valuable for web content. Picks that can't are problematic sometimes. So that's really good to know.
Why is
Ben
it
just actually? Well, I'll let Ben answer that. But he just redesigned the entire Baylor Music website. So, okay. And Drew is saying, okay.
Basso Bufundo. Basso Bufo is the correct sound, a title of the resonators within this.
Yeah. This you do have a rich, I think it's a rich voice. I call it... It's a rich voice, so probably mine comparatively is a little thin, a little stringy.
I have a resonating chamber, big head, and a even thicker lower below. You can't see right now. It's my stomach area.
It's true. It
fills up. So you're more of a string bean, as is often
said.
That's
right. That's right.
It's not xylophone says, but all good.
Yeah.
Seems like we've solved it.
We'll let Ben's probably type in a response because you asked him a question about the problematic nature of non-square things. I've noticed some of this too in trying to just a low level like updating of my website, and I'm sure it's all, you know, if now I'm seeing this is hard to type out. Yeah, I know. It's take your time.
Well, Ben, just say whatever it is out loud as if you have a microphone and as if we hear you, and like do it in like 5 seconds, just say, and then we'll respond as if we heard you.
Right.
All sides are the same length. Yeah, that makes
that makes sense if you're talking about a square.
Right. A square.
No, but just like the and for people who do graphic design and actually think about this stuff, I'm, you know, this is probably a just the lowest level of conversation could be.
But I think it's good. I mean, I still have these problems now. I mean, Stephanie is always on my butt about posting a picture on Instagram. Like, it auto adjusts in weird ways, and
I just don't
think about that stuff. And I'll post something, and then they're all like cropped and weird. So. But I'm going to assume that that's a problem for a lot of people, and you take a photo and you don't understand like why the presenter cropped it in the way they did.
Yeah.
Or they chopped off, maybe you did take a picture you're super psyched about with your new snare drum sticks, but when they cropped it, what they did is they cropped off your head, or they cropped off your arms, and so you don't see the sticks, and you might ask yourself why. And maybe I think what Ben is alluding to is if you have a fairly clean photo that can be cropped equally from every side and you still get the essence of the photo, that seems to be important.
I think some of this actually also speaks to, and probably just year after year, generation after generation, this is will become less of a problem, because as we've seen with many things, I'm sure we would both agree, the teaching and learning of like basic recording skills, like that everybody should get that. The teaching and learning of basic graphic design skills and web skills, like we as music students are really probably just any human who is emerging out of their younger years and about to embark on a profession. If you deal with this stuff at all, we should, we should really learn it. Ben, in that case, now I'm thinking it would be an awesome PR package to provide a huge resolution pic with tons of extra space all around.
I think when So does press photos, I don't do this personally for me just because I'm not that smart, but we will have low, medium, and high res images because different stuff shows up differently on, like you said, web content or printed material. Sometimes super high res isn't always good, whatever, or just the size of the photo you need, it's better to have it in whatever resolution. So good point.
Do you remember making, like, I not so long ago remember like making posters, like concert posters, that, just because I don't know anything, like I would just open up a Word doc and then I would like copy a photo from a website and just like put it in a Word doc, and then as long as you change the font to something that's not Times or Helvetica. I mean, that's basically graphic design, right?
It's the poor man's graphic design. I mean, when you're in all my recital posters were, I found this image of a bunch of nuns, like 15 nuns marching with snare drums. And I just, I did what you did. Like, I think I even printed it out. I don't even think I did the Word doc thing. I think I printed out the photo, cut out the photo, taped that photo to a piece of paper.
Right.
And then in the Word doc, it was just an empty doc. I made a big empty space where the photo was going to be, made my material, put my print content down at the bottom, and then fed the actual taped piece of paper with the photo, hard copy photo taped to it, put that into the printer, and then printed the material right below that. Then I went and photocopied that 50,000 times to put up around the University of Akron.
But see, now that would be, I mean, you just did that because you didn't know what you were doing.
Exactly.
But that would be like, I mean, that's like craft, graphic design now, like bespoke, like now it would be like, whoa.
I should start an Etsy shop.
We already have one, right? For the SOS. No, that's eBay.
I have an Estee shop, an Estee Oregon shop. Not an Etsy. But yeah, so it's definitely changed a lot. And I think, but for folks now, it's weird. Maybe you should chime in or somebody else should correct me here, but I feel like the ways to make music in your laptop, that has gotten exponentially easier for everybody. To record stuff has gotten exponentially easier for everybody. To take photos at a high level, just to capture high quality video or audio or a photo, has gotten much easier for everybody. But it's the actual editing and of a photo, oddly to me, is still like, there's still a big learning curve there. There isn't some, like, that I know of, a GarageBand style approach to Adobe Photoshop, like where there is just a dumb user friendly like intro program that you can get some basic skills on. And I'm speaking from ignorance here, and I'm sure there's stuff out there, but
yeah, there may be. And like, Ben, if you're still on, if there is something, maybe let everybody know, cause that would be nice to know. But I do find that same thing. I mean, sometimes I will feel a little ambitious and I'm like, all right, you know, most of the, like, believe it or not, Josh, the funny photos that I put up,
yep.
I don't do those in Photoshop because I don't know how to use Photoshop.
Photoshop's right? really, it's like Max MSP. There's everything is at your fingertips and it can be really daunting.
It's impossible. Like yeah. I try, you know, and I'm sure, obviously it's not impossible. A lot of people use it, but, Adobe Lightroom is easier than Photoshop. That's good.
Okay.
I have that. I've opened that up too. Obviously I haven't sat down long enough to figure it out.
Well, there's clearly a market there because like my wife, she's needed press photos for her work. She's a pastor. Like this isn't a music specific
right.
problem or a need. And she's, you know, I'm going to do it for her. I mean, we don't have money to hire a photographer. So I'm going to do it with the portrait function on the iPhone,
yes.
which yeah. takes really beautiful photos. And then I'm going to figure out how to crop it and make it look good for her. But I don't, if I had that sort of Adobe Light Shop thing where I could plug it in and do a very basic sort of touch up job, that'd be super helpful. So somebody right. out there, please.
Josh McClellan can confirm on Lightroom. So that's good to hear.
Okay. Well,
so we're plugging Lightroom, everybody. And Percussion is Love is Life. Welcome to the room.
Halfway. Jr. just joined a while ago. Paul Block is a pastor out in Las Vegas who is a friend with Stephanie.
Nice.
He's wasting an hour. He's going to regret that.
As we all are, yeah. we're about at the halfway point. I do want to mention one other. So we didn't really actually knock anybody's photos because that, I mean.
Yeah, no. I don't consider what I said about Third Coast Grinder photo.
It was just a friendly
troll.
Yeah, yeah, friendly troll. Yeah. I will say one of the photos that I really liked early on. I'm not sure if he's still using it because this was around a long time ago. But I don't know if you ever saw Eduardo Leandro's photo. I mean, it's probably at least 10 years old now, but it's really simple. It's his whole body. I think he is maybe against white.
Okay.
He may be holding a mallet. He may be not. But there's you know there's plenty of space around him.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was just a real classy photo. I think he was wearing like a suit jacket or something. He just, you know, he looked good. He looked happy.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like trying to force a smile or anything. It looked like a relaxed, like, this is what Eduardo looks like. And this actually aligns with, you know, if you meet him and hang out with him, yeah. who he is. So maybe that's where early so press photo with the Ford headlights in front of Long Island Sound, maybe where that's one missed the mark because it looks like a group of street toughs and they're not like
street toughs.
Yeah.
Well, what it did show, is that so is a very DIY warts and all sort of group. And I think warts and all and street tough are two different things. And I think like just missing the mark on, I think that's what does endear so to audiences, to be honest. And, you know, I've been in the group now for 12 years. One of the things I think that does give us an in is that we don't try to hide anything from the audience. If the white triangle is showing up here, like it's just who we are, you know.
Right.
But in that initial attempt, I think it skewed heavily towards the West Side Story. We're going to cut you if you get
yeah.
too close.
Yeah.
So it's worth thinking about. And I think it's the first impression people have of you. And I always tell students, you know, yeah, come to the Steel Band concert, wear what you feel you'd be comfortable wearing if some random person took a photo from an angle you had no control over and it was in the New York Times.
Right.
You know, do you want to look classy and classic, or do you want to look like you were captured in a moment in time that people will look to and know exactly what year it was?
Yep.
And in general, the former, I think, is the better approach.
Yeah. But, you know, I'll say one final statement that is, because it's not unlike anything we put up now. I mean, press photos it's publicity in the same way that putting up a video now is publicity, or putting any photo really on Instagram of ourselves is publicity.
Yeah.
Like the fact that that stuff is out there and we can still claim it and own it and be okay with that, that we can go back and look at our former selves from whether it's a style standpoint or even a player standpoint, like going to what you said about the DIY nature and just being like, yeah, that's, I mean, like maybe we kind of chuckle at that photo now, but
But it's looking back at the fossil. I mean, it's like looking at the fossil record. It's an important thing to be able to track your thought processes along and sort of learn. Because we'll go back. I'll go back and look at old press photos and be like, yeah, that little tiny thing that I thought nothing over, that none of us really worried about, I'm just going to steal that and exploit that for the next set of photos. And you're not thinking about that consciously at the moment you're taking that photo, but it's not. I would try not to consider any of them mistakes so grievous that you would take a photo off the internet or try to scrub it. Even if it's one you're embarrassed about, if it's not offensive and you're not doing something like creepy or weird, like I say, keep it up, be a warts and all person. And, just go back and review it as you get older and sort of remind yourself, like, that's how I did it. Before we move on to the next topic, I want to give a little, prime the pump a little bit of your liquid drone practice journal. I saw you put a little teaser up online, a little 7-minute teaser, and I listened to the whole thing in the car ride back from Maine with Neil Larrivee. Super engaging to just hear it for 8 minutes. I can't imagine.
Oh, cool. You just listened to the audio.
Just the audio. Well, I was driving, so it wasn't, that's great. Wasn't safe. But Neil was very impressed. He was very grateful because his son, Mark, is currently using the practice journal in his preparations for All-State Band and local youth orchestra stuff. So he's got a lot of auditions coming up. You want to chat a little bit about that before we move on to the family stuff?
Yeah, sure. And that's really nice to hear that you and Neil listen to that. Less so because of you. I don't really care if you listen to it. But for Neil, he part of doing that video was actually I had always meant to do a video like that. But I did want to spend some time with the journal before I did kind of a how-to, just so I knew what I was talking about. But he actually sent me a note probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago saying, hey, you know what would be great is if you did a video about how to use the thing, because I sent one to him a while ago for his son to use. And, he was just kind of joking about, like, he doesn't know what he's not using it. He doesn't know what he's doing, whatever.
Yeah.
So, that's what the video is. It really is just a how-to. It's like one of the, it's super, super lame. But any of that stuff, I spent 2 days basically doing the video and then putting out this, low level PR plan to kind of relaunch in 2019. It's so much work. I'm sure other people could do it faster, but it is work that after you do it, it's just there. So it's up on YouTube. And all of that stuff helps, from what I've heard, helps like SEO and, I'm trying to think on some level about that.
What's
like
SEO? When
I don't even know what it stands for. So somebody who's, who has a clue, maybe put that in the comment section. But I mean, basically how your stuff, if you're trying to sort of raise your ranking, let's say in Google, so that when you type in practice journal,
it shows up.
So if you type that in right now, if you type in practice journal or music practice journal, the first thing that comes up that has anything to do with my practice journal is maybe on page 5 or 6, and it's my Kickstarter. It's not even like the web page I have.
Because Kickstarter has a higher SEO than you do, and within Kickstarter's algorithm, you're lower, and so that's why it shows up where it does,
Yeah, and like that, my Kickstarter push had a lot of good action, and so there was a lot of activity on that, and so it got it at least somewhere in the ranking, although obviously it's not in. Nobody is going to search to the 5th page to see, I'm going to pass all of these other practice journals because I think on page 5 there's going to be a really great one.
It's like when Google Maps gives you this route is 24 minutes slower. I want to meet the one person who's taking that route. And be like, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah, we're going to waste 24 minutes.
That's the one.
That's the one.
So I think the word is these days that YouTube is maybe the second largest search engine next to –
That wouldn't surprise me. YouTube's humongous for there's a lot of podcasting.
Right.
That's where the lion's share of podcasting is, or live podcasting is done.
So – again, as we've talked about with a lot of these things, I hardly know what I'm doing. But I am trying to research this stuff as much as I can and make smart choices and make smart moves where I can. So I knew I wanted to do this because I think that's important to get a video like that up. It's something that will obviously be around for forever. And if people are inclined in any way to say, this is a cool journal, I bought it, you know, maybe I was part of the Kickstarter, but honestly, I've never used it. Mm-hmm. Maybe at some point they can waste. It was actually over 9 minutes, Josh, the video. I'm glad it seemed shorter. That's wonderful. Yeah. But they can waste over 9 minutes listening.
As I was listening to the video while driving, there were some things that, because Neil was talking about how his son Mark, I think he's 16, and I'm sorry for talking about someone else's child on this hour, but he was saying that, you know, at that age, it's a struggle sometimes to sort of, not even just to get organized, but to know that you need to get organized. Like, yeah. that how you learn is a skill. Learning how you learn is a skill, and it's kind of, I don't think there's a way to do it other than through trial and error. Even if someone followed your book to the letter the way you intended it, there is some unintended bias in that you made that book from your standpoint.
Right.
And a lot of those approaches work really well for you. But what I like about the journal is that it is tailorable or modular enough where if there's a step in there that for somebody is just helpful to not worry about,
yeah,
for whatever reason, they can. They don't have to, you know, whatever. But it does a really good job, and I think the video does a really good job of sort of laying out at least a first roadmap of like, all right, you've never thought about how to organize your practice. Try this, and then tinker with this from there. Here's your map to build the model car. But once you've got it built, then, you know, put things where you want to put them so that the car drives like you want to drive it.
Right.
Or most efficiently.
That's a nice way to say it.
When I was in grad school, I think it was like February when Adam asked me to sub for Doug. I was getting ready for my grad recital, which had a ton of rep, Rogue Ashanti, like all this stupid stuff that was just way too much time to. I didn't have enough time to learn just that. And then Adam hands me like 15 pieces that I've got to learn that aren't school related, but I got to learn them. And I made this huge, took a huge piece of paper and drew out like a map for the next 3 months of how to, like every day, what tempos I was going to be practicing at, all this stuff. And then just once I did that, it took me a couple hours to do it. Once I did that, then every day was just 100% of my time was filled with practicing and just checking a box.
Right.
And when the time was up, I moved to the next thing, and I just forced myself to fall into these sort of grooves on the ski slope. Until it became real smooth and I was able to sort of adjust where I needed to.
Yeah, and that's the whole point. And just being able to, one, conceptualize that, but take the time to even think that you might need to conceptualize it, mm-hmm. then to conceptualize it and just lay out a plan. It's just a plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just know for me, doing it was a response to just being very reactionary in my work and practice.
Yeah.
And I still am, because there's too many things to do. So it's just like, oh, this next thing is hitting me. And the deadline for that is, well, it's gone, but I need to, you know, still get the thing in. So there's no plan. So when you walk into the practice room, it's like, I just vaguely know that I have to be able to play this piece in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So let's just put it up and start, you know. And really that upfront planning time doesn't have to take more than probably, you know, 180 seconds to just
That upfront planning time is a similar skill set to learning whatever notes you're going to get better at.
Right.
You're going to get faster at it. And that's the point.
Yeah.
And then eventually you get to the point where you don't need the journal necessarily. Like, you've done mm-hmm. it enough where you can, in your head, when you get a piece, I know it was so like, you know, we have 14 new pieces to premiere in 3 weeks or whatever. I can look at all of them and be like, okay, I know what I need to do with this one. I know what I need to do this. So I don't need to sit down and write out everything because I've done it a million times. And I think that's sort of the point of, at least for students right now with this journal, is to learn how you learn.
Yeah. So if you're interested, it's Friday right now. The journal is on sale. $4 off regular price, Josh.
What's the regular price? $80. So it's $76.
You didn't let me finish.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
$18 is what it is now. It's regular price $22. And that deal runs through Sunday. So it's Friday now. It'll run through Sunday, January 13th. And I really...
Oops.
Sorry, I popped my earpiece out. I don't have the thing timed out. So honestly, I'm not going to shut the sale off until Monday morning on the 14th.
Yeah.
And if you buy in that time, you'll also get a free Liquid Drum circle sticker.
Say it ain't so.
No, it is so.
Yeah. And it can stick on anything?
Literally anything.
What a deal.
They're actually great stickers. Right, do you know Sticker Mule, the company Sticker Mule?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been really pleased. They make the Liquid Drum stickers. They do really well.
Hashtag Sticker Mule.
Yeah.
Shout out so Sticker Mule.
Plug them.
Well, let's move. Let's tie, how much does Instagram tell you when our time is up? Does it give you a little countdown ticker?
I think we probably do get a countdown, and it,
I don't know.
I bet we have like 10 more. I bet we have like 12 more minutes.
Okay. Well, let's just loop in this last thing. How do you maintain? I think your Liquid Drum thing, that your journal, perhaps is part of this conversation. How do you maintain family life and time on tour and being out of town? Do you want me to go first on this one?
Sure.
Or do you want to go first?
No, you go.
All right. I get this question a lot at SOCI. Students want to ask, they want to know this sort of thing. And I feel really bad that I don't have a better answer, but if you want a family and you want to be gone on the road a lot, you need a family that's cool with you being gone on the road or not. And that includes yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a, my particular, you know, the conversations between me and Stephanie are never, hey, I hate the fact that you're gone all the time, and me, oh, I love so percussion and I love playing music, so you're just going to have to deal with that. Like, that is right. Not, at least from what I can tell and in my experience, not a healthy approach to, putting a human being second to playing any piece of music, at least from where I'm sitting, is a bad idea, especially if it's mm-hmm. somebody you are married to and you genuinely care about.
Yep.
But Stephanie has always been psyched about the fact I'm psyched about what I'm doing. And the same goes for her job. I've tried never to sort of tell her that she couldn't do a job of hers because it was going to make my commute harder or,
right.
I mean, some of that conversation happens, but I try to never let that, really influence the conversation. And why? It's because Stephanie and I are okay with being apart from each other. We had a long distance relationship early on. That's how it started. And it started prior to when cell phones were a thing or the internet. So she would disappear to church camp for like a month and a half at a time. Right. And I wouldn't talk to her for a month and a half at a time. So for us, it's just not super duper difficult. That said, I hate being away from her. I loathe that part of it. But missing someone, it's a challenge. I wish I could say that I don't think about it or that I've got the solution. I just don't. It is the worst part about this job is being away when, not just being away when like, oh, she wishes I was there to walk the dogs. It's like being away when something bad happens and she's right. upset, or something great happens and I'm not there to share it with her or something like
right.
that, you know, or just,
right.
I like just sitting on the couch and putting my feet behind her and like just watching TV with her, even if it's Real Housewives. Like, I enjoy her company, so that part of the job really stinks. I'm just going to be straight up honest.
Yeah,
but you maintain it because it's work. It's just like anything. You got to be organized. You have to plan out date nights or things that sort of take you off your groove, your normal path. We try to plan that. So we go to concerts a lot, that sort of thing. So yeah, it's work. I mean, it's work, but it's the most worthwhile work I think I do in my life, I would say.
Right. Right. Ditto.
With and kids, that feeling.
Yeah, Drew says with kids that feeling. Yeah, totally. I think it's always hard. I think the only way it would not be hard for all of those other reasons, of course, is if you're totally single, you know, and if it's like I'm just choosing a nomadic life for, you know, maybe this period of my life, or maybe for my whole life, whatever, but that's kind of how I want to live and exist. Right. It's probably hard to do that too. But I think with the question being balanced with, family, I mean, I totally agree. I think it's like, it's fair to say that it's impossible because you can't satisfy mm-hmm. both. And I remember that even early on. Like, I remember having to turn down an opportunity that I think Bob gave early, so because Jessica was actually planning to come and visit from Austin to New Haven that weekend. Yeah. And, you know, he was like, guys, pack your bags, you know, you're going to whatever. And I'm like, actually, you know, my fiance is coming from Austin, so I'm not available, you know? And like, there's just like immediate tension, you know. Yeah. I could see like that upset him. He was trying to make something happen for us. And then you feel the guilt of what that does to the other members of the ensemble. And then it's a difficult situation if it works the other way with home life. And so, and I don't do it obviously nearly as much as you do. And I have never done it to that extent, but it doesn't work for our family. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't, you know, like every now and again, it's fine, but it doesn't feel good. I'm super stressed. Jessica is super stressed. I don't know that the kids in the moment care so much, you know, but it doesn't matter because it causes tension elsewhere. And I, you know, for me, that's a big reason why, you know, using technology and doing a lot of this stuff online, you know, like I just taught an online lesson yesterday to a student in Canada. That's, you know, I don't know, that's better. I did it from my office. Yep. Here. Yep. In Waco. I didn't have to go to Canada, you know? Yep. And probably the bang for your buck with stuff, at least with stuff like that is it makes more sense to do this. Now you can't probably at this point play full concert seasons that way. And then, you know, just like invite people to join you and just do concert seasons in your studio or whatever. But, that's a different thing. But I think we're all just trying to feel out what works and what we feel comfortable with.
Well, it's this weird, like the fantasy of being a touring musician is something, I mean, it's, you want to be in a rock band when you grow up or whatever. And so percussion is not the same as being in a rock band at all. But, you know, we're out of town 100 nights a year easily.
Yeah.
For various, and very few of those are for concerts. It's like you're doing a master class somewhere, or you have to be somewhere for an extra couple of days because you're doing a residency or whatever. The real like sexy parts of doing the job, which is playing the big show, that's such a small portion of the actual amount of work that goes into it and the time that you're away from your family or whatever. You think about the mystique of that as a student. And so you feel like, well, if that opportunity ever comes up, because it's so rare, it's like hunting, you know, like, but you're hunting this extinct, you're hunting an endangered animal.
Right.
And when that animal comes across your field of vision, like your heart rate goes up, you're willing to throw away everything for that one clean shot, you know?
Right.
But that's not a healthy approach, because you may sit in that tree stand your whole life.
Right.
And give up a lot of awesome stuff. And the older I get, I mean, I'm only 39, but the older I get, the more I am okay with saying out loud, you know, this thing that I'm not willing to give up everything for that clean shot. Maybe instead of hunting the endangered animal all the time, I'm going to be okay with, you know, getting a deer.
you know,
something a little less crazy to shoot for. And it's not a like laziness thing or anything. I think it's more of a stability, just like a mental bedrock or something. I don't know, from which to see everything. That sounds like that doesn't sound at all like it makes sense. But to me, that I have found more security in reinvesting in family rather than reinvesting back into the thing that's just the grinding work of running a percussion quartet, you know?
Yeah.
The reason I say that is I think students should feel okay early on to not have that pressure on them. I think if it's something you want or you're thinking about doing, go ask somebody if you can join them. I mean, the most illuminating thing for me, I wanted to be a freelance musician. So Tom Miller, who's a steel drum musician out in Oakland, he lives in Denver now. He lived in Oakland, California at the time. He said, come on out. Take a week. Come out. You can sleep on my couch. All you got to do is fly out here. And pay for your food. I said, okay. And so I went and traveled around and was like, oh, wow, this is what being a freelance musician is like. Okay. Parts of it I love, parts of it I didn't. Being a chamber musician, it's like, you want to come on tour or so for a living? All right, we got plenty of gigs, and if you want to come and be a shadow us,
right, well,
you can carry gear into a hall just like me if you want to know what that's like.
Right.
That will teach you more than sort of just like hibernating away and making a website and figuring out how to do budgets when you don't actually know what it's like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And honestly, prioritize stuff, you know?
I think that's a really good lesson for students to learn. And I think that, like, that's a lesson I learned about, and we'll probably time out here pretty soon, but that's a lesson I learned about. You learned it with freelancing, which for me, there was no attraction to freelancing ever for whatever reason. I just didn't, that never grabbed my attention, but, orchestral playing, yes, or I shouldn't say orchestral playing, cause I do enjoy orchestral playing, but playing in a professional orchestra full time, that always grabbed my attention. Like, yes, that's got it. This is it. And I know after having done it, not full time, but the scenarios that I have been in, whether it's subbing with a full time orchestra from time to time, or even playing with the Waco Symphony, which is more of a regional orchestra. Yeah. Two minute countdown here.
Okay.
I've learned that, full time. Nope. I can't. It just doesn't work. It doesn't sit with me. And so I think the same thing and how that might, and part of that actually was how it might impact family. Like, you know, I know full-time orchestras, a lot of the time you're rehearsing during the day, but your shows are still at night. And that's one of the things I'm dreading about next week, Waco Symphony. I've got 5 straight nights in a row where every single evening I'm going to be gone.
Yeah.
So every single evening I don't get to hang out with my family. I hate that. I hate it. And that's really unfortunate because we're playing Mahler 1, and I'm sure that's going to be a great experience, and I'm playing with friends and colleagues, and I respect all of them. But, like, I'm so stressed about Sunday through Thursday because the boys have basketball games, and Jessica teaches some classes at night. It doesn't work. It's not good. It doesn't feel good. So, getting out there and tasting it and seeing if it actually jives with what you want to do.
Yeah. Well, Todd, this was, we're wrapping it up here, it seems. And I, wanted to thank everybody who, hopped on and helped us out, and joined. Well, hopefully we'll talk to them later, on another chat, but, it was fun to waste an hour with you, Todd. It always is. I don't feel like it was a waste, but we'll, you know,
that's what we'll call it. Yeah. I think, the good news for your family is that I think Stephanie just won herself a couple tote bags.
Hey, yo. Because that's what you want. We'll donate them to a percussionist of your choice, since we already have 1,500 liquid drum and so tote bags.
But no, really fun talking, and we will do it again soon. Instagram Live, we love you.
Oh,
and we'll see you next time.
Couldn't have done it without you. All right, everybody, we'll talk to you later. Look at that.
Boom.
Right under the gun, buddy. Good job, Todd.
Cool. All right. Well,